Hi, this is Sarah from sarahyip.com, Facebook, The Numbers Queen, and Instagram, sarahyip1111, with a very special world changer lesson and interview with the awesome Antonella Spatola from Empowerment Self Defense. And so, Antonella, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Sarah.
So, in a nutshell, I guess, how would you describe what you do and who you are?
In a nutshell, yes. Well, I'm also the owner of Wisdom for Women and lead trainer. And what I do is, with all my years of experience in self-defense, martial arts, conflict resolution, transformational growth, I then take all of that and amalgamate it into a sense of learning your personality style and then matching that up with how to defend and assert yourself. That's in a nutshell.
Very specific. And you've helped me a lot. I've done some of your workshops and, you know, we've worked together for a long time. And I really admire your clarity. You have a very good ability to sense if someone has kind of the right intentions or not, and to sort of move them along physically and energetically. So if we maybe just briefly talk about your numerology. So you're a 31/4 life path, so you're here to heal your own heart and the hearts of others, including that courage to be your true self. And so do you recall any interesting things happening around 4 or especially 31 in your life where you had a change of heart or you're really having to learn about commitment, discipline and that kind of thing?
Yeah, well, I'll bring up the 31 age of when I was 31 in 2008 was after I actually spent 3 years in Denmark with my ex-husband, who we're still friends with today. And so in 2008, we bought Heinz Butcher Shop in Woolloongabba because he is a butcher, and we at the time did everything by hand, like the old-fashioned way of smoking meats, and I was measuring up all the spices to put into the sausages and, yeah, you name it. So completely way off field of who I am and what I do. But, you know, the opportunity to learn so many skills and how to, you know, create small goods products by hand, dealing with customers. We had such a big European customer base. And creating connections through food, which, you know, being Italian, it's always been a big, big part of my life. But it also, I tell you what, though, was really interesting because my background, you know, even then I had my degree in psychology and always worked with people. But, you know, moving into the family business, that's sort of put your stuff aside and work in there. I remember feeling really resentful that I used to, like, go into the all the famous cafes and restaurants, like in Brisbane, like I'm talking about five-star, Matt Moran, you know, all of those famous chefs. I used to go into their kitchens to deliver the meats and their orders. And I used to be considered like as just the delivery person. They didn't realize I was the owner. And that really, you know, it was like I felt a lot of resentment. But I always wore my Chanel perfume in the butcher shop. So
it's really interesting because you're very passionate about doing business with heart in a very female friendly way and recognizing all those silent or quiet achievers in society. So isn't that interesting? Because I could even sense when you talked about that, just the fire that kind of ignited.
Yeah, it was a very male dominated space. Obviously, you know, but and what I've learned lately is that part of my programming has been really influenced by male thinking. And I'm now on the journey of actually trying to untangle all that and get back to that feminine side.
It's interesting, a lot of 31/4s are very successful, especially with anything to do with the hands or property or business or accounting. And they don't miss a thing. The other thing I've noticed, especially with 31/4 women, very often they come up against the patriarchy extremely early. There's often a very strong lineage from the dad and just that real hardworking serious side, and it can serve them very, very well in difficult careers. And if we go to that, so you are one of the highest level Wing Chun instructors, like female Wing Chun instructor.
Yeah, well,
but you know what I mean.
Yes, Wing Chun instructor. So I don't practice it as much as I used to, but I trained under the man whose father trained Bruce Lee. So I've been very blessed in terms of lineage to be directly one of the, like, you know, grandfathers of the world in Wing Chun. And it's always, I've always been like the only female, I've got so many stories about that. But, and then, you know, talk about the patriarchy being, you know, Sicilian, also, and my parents had three girls. I'm the eldest. My dad always wanted me to be the one that was, you know, I used to go fishing with him. I used to fix the cars with him. I used to go on road trips with him. So I always had to be sort of the son he never had, but at the same time, I didn't have the rights of a typical son. So I was always like diminished in who I was as a person and in my expression of my femininity. So yeah, you're right in terms of learning early how males think, and hence why I was just saying before, trying now to unprogram that way of thinking, which is so, you know, straight edged, and you know, it's just not sustainable, and it really blocks that creativity and nurturing aspect of how we do business.
Oh, absolutely, and I'm so conscious of the you know, the fluidity with genders, and I mean, we could almost just call it sort of android human in a way, because of course there are many males who are extremely sensitive and nurturing, and lots of women who can be quite mechanical and ruthless. So very interesting conversation. So a couple of other things I wanted to pull out in this lesson, and especially about boundaries. You have been in a lot of positions where you've had to walk away or assert yourself, and now you teach women and just people in general, especially those who like children and people who might be vulnerable, yeah, to know the signs. And so if you had to encapsulate that a bit, how do you build up that risk detector and then also the courage to call people out? How did you build that up, and do you have any tips for people?
How did I build that up? You know, I've always been very observant of people, humans, even from a very young age, always had a fascination with personalities and why one person would get offended and everyone wouldn't get offended. I just found that, and still do find that, very, very interesting. So I have a very keen fascination in terms of personality profiling. So you do numerology, so you can, you know, whether you're a 4 or a 9 or a 1, we all have our different traits.
And also palmistry. Yeah.
And palmistry, exactly. Okay. So So I work a lot with the Enneagram, and I've studied, you know, with people all around the world with their Enneagram, and I've noticed that based on their personality type is how they download information. So, you know, we could be standing side by side observing the same situation, and we would walk away with completely different perspectives. Did you see how he, did you hear what he said? Did you see what she wore? And we're like, no, I didn't notice. And, you know, it would be so obvious to you, and what's obvious to you is not obvious to the other person. So I started to think, how does this relate to self-defense and boundary setting? And it's the same thing, right? And it's not a cookie cutter approach, that what would work for me is going to work for you, because it is so embedded in unconscious belief systems What I would find offensive, you may not find offensive. So we start, or what we find abusive or violating may not be violating and abusive for me. So I can't then sort of say to everybody, well, if somebody said that to you, it would be offensive. It's like, well, it's not. So we've got to start looking at our own personality and our own personality types to understand how we respond. So how do we then, our internal intuitive radar detector, in terms of when I don't feel safe and comfortable, it's really tuning into yourself and getting to know yourself. One of my favorite mantras is know thyself. So it's not narcissistic. We throw this word around so much. It's not narcissistic to invest time and money and energy in getting to know who you are, whether it is through palmistry, numerology, the Enneagram, the Myers-Briggs, the HBDI, like it doesn't matter. Take the time to get to know who you are. Once you get to know who you are, you have a better understanding and awareness of what triggers you, what activates you, and why. And usually it comes back to a childhood or an adolescent trauma that you've had. And it's not then about shaming yourself or judging yourself. It's looking at it, hopefully with a coach, hopefully with someone that you trust, and looking at it from a pragmatic perspective and go, right, when I hear this kind of stuff or when I'm exposed to this kind of material, I am so triggered, but I know why. And then you can, I guess, decide whether it's something that you have to work on in yourself or if you need to establish boundaries. Now, with boundaries, like I said, it's based on context and nuance. So when you can check in yourself and feel, how am I feeling right here, right now, which is not easy to do. In the moments when we are stressed, we either fight, flight, or freeze. So when we are stressed and we can start becoming aware of patterns. And when we are feeling safe, we can talk to somebody and say, look, when that happened to me, between me and my partner, me and my colleague, me and my parent, this happened for me. They pushed my buttons. And then I can then support you by going, okay, well, let's look into that deeper. What does it mean for you? And how would you ideally like to respond next time?
To cut you off. Is it okay if I sort of just put that together a little bit?
Go for it.
Yeah, right. So very much about that importance of observation and having really invested in understanding yourself. And I got a very strong image of a house when you said that, and knowing essentially what's in the house and what I suppose people are trying to plant in there undetected or take from you, perhaps, you know, when they come for their visit. And so just really knowing what's inside. And then also what I was getting from that is there isn't a set response, and that fluidity is very important because it's the reason that we need a supportive community and maybe a teacher or mentor so that we can learn as we go along and develop that confidence. And, you know, in World Changes, I always say, like, confidence and leadership comes from supported learning, essentially being able to make a mistake and having someone there to debrief with, but also like work with going forwards. And that side-by-side nature of learning is essential to break through pretty much any of the cycles that a lot of us face. And then also what I was getting from what you were saying is there's so much need for people to ask for the help, because people may not realize that they have offended someone else. And so there is that little bit of an onus on us to keep the communication open. If it's okay, could I just ask, you know, when you taught me in a workshop, for example, a lot of what you said, it was really quite energetic and spiritual. It wasn't so much about hit them here or do that. I mean, there was some of that, right? But, I mean, how important is it to protect our energy?
It's so important to honor your own responsibility in this world and what you're here for. And, you know, we can look into soul contracts and lessons that other people are teaching us, but if we are not aware and if we don't approach it through a lens of education, information, observation rather than absorption, we can just completely get overwhelmed and lose ourselves and give away our power without even realizing. Because the thing that I'm very passionate about is that when I came here to Australia as an immigrant, I was taught to be passive. I was taught to be quiet. I was taught to not rock the boat or to have my own way of thinking. And that didn't serve me growing up. At 18, that's when I started learning Wing Chun. So when people hear about you know, the martial arts and the self-defense and how I teach it. Yes, I used to teach, and I still do to certain people, the physical side of things, but it's not the physical self-defense that we need. We need the emotional self-defense, the resiliency, the psychological self-defense of how to deal with people that we love, because we cannot kick our loved ones in the balls. We cannot kick them in the throat. So, you know, like the, so it's learning to articulate our boundaries, because that's what we are teaching our kids. We are role modeling boundaries with our kids, and our kids will have, you know, their own lessons that they need to learn. But if they can see that, you know, even like when, you know, everyone's had the experience of going to the shops, and they, and you always get asked every time you go shopping, okay, not every time, but you get asked, would you like to donate to this? Would you like to donate to this? It's like, no, no, no. And it's not because you don't want to donate, because we know that we donate a lot of money, but that experience is designed to make you feel guilty and take away your power.
Sorry, and I just have to mention that that was my previous job, fundraising. But I just wanted to say to you that, firstly, it very much helped me with the psychic ability, but secondly, there is definitely an element of that, which is one reason there's very high burnout, because there's a short-termism which comes from perhaps some of the structure of it. So just acknowledging that I've been on the inside of that too.
Yes, exactly. And look, it's without judgment on either side, but it's understanding how someone is trying to make you feel guilty or bad when you haven't done anything but just asserted yourself.
It's a good test.
So yeah, nuance and context is really important. And you know, when it comes to boundaries, I say to my students that they are transferable. You know, you're going to have casual boundaries, you're going to have part-time boundaries, and you're going to have full-time boundaries where there's no negotiations. But most of us don't even know what our casual, part-time, and full-time boundaries are, and how and when we can slightly shift. Because we're always comparing ourselves to someone that may be really assertive and aggressive, but it's not our style. And what happens then is, and we become embarrassed and shameful that we're not as assertive and aggressive as the other person. So it's understanding why, you know, why are we experiencing this, and where do we see ourselves wanting to be?
I love how deep you are, and I obviously could listen to you all day and hope this is one of a series of chats and lessons we do. So if we, I guess we started to round this up, essentially it's a learning process to have boundaries, and just because someone seems to have good ones doesn't mean they're not actually having quite a tough experience, because we just don't know, like, you know, where they've come from or what they really are facing. And the other thing is that just that importance of having people around you who will listen to your experiences, and so that you can change your behavior, which of course is probably the one thing we can control. I wanted to also mention how important this topic is in an increasingly virtual and artificial world, where previously you could see the bad person coming because they look like a Yeti, right? Rah, rah, rah. And that's not so common now. What's more common is those invisible Yetis who send us nasty messages on social media or do that, just like kind of psychological warfare. And that's very subtle, and that's where the intuition, the body check-ins of the community can save your life. We know how many people, unfortunately, you know, suicide after online bullying. It's a real thing. So I just want to acknowledge you, Antonella. You've run a lot of workshops. You do coaching. You've been one of my most loyal Patreon and World Changer members, and I've learned a lot from you. Is there any kind of last words you'd like to say to people who feel that when they assert their boundaries, they come across as too strong, or that people won't like them? Is there anything you want to say to those people?
Yes. And I just want to also acknowledge you, Sarah. You've been in my life for nearly probably a decade. And, you know, that's part of that knowing thyself. And you've been part of that journey to help me in my journey of empowerment. What I would share is, can you just repeat that question again? I was just completely
what would you say to people? No, and I appreciate you so much. What would you say to those people who are frightened to assert their boundaries, and in case they're considered too much, or yes, they lose friends or they just get criticized for setting a boundary? What would you say to those people? I'm sure a lot of them are listening to this. So,
yeah, we do live in a culture, not just in Australia, but I find when I teach in Asia that we live in a culture that if you do assert yourself, you're straight away gaslighted or you're criticized for standing up for yourself. So here we are living in a society where we want women to be empowered. But as soon as like a woman asserts her boundaries with you, it's you that gets offended instead of honoring her for saying no. So when that happens to you, remember, it's not about you, it's more about them. So again, observe and become aware of the situation. If you can honestly say that I've just asserted my boundary and it honors what I need and want in this moment. If the other person has an issue with it, it's about them. So you need to be really discerning of where you're giving your power away. So it is a muscle that needs to be always be acknowledged and always work with. So just realize that if you are asserting yourself and the other person has an issue with it, it's about them. They cannot handle it. So
yeah. And I just wanted to add a tiny bit there. Every now and then there's a little bit of a give and take, but I guess we're really talking to the people who are coming from a very intuitive, self-aware place. And that no can be your teaching, really. So, yeah, I'll link to a few articles below, including my article 33, Ways to Say No, and Antonella's work. I think with the word magic, when you flip the word no, it becomes on. And so one of the cheeky things I say in my article is, you can just say that doesn't turn me on. But anyway, no, I won't take away from this the importance and gravitas of what you've said. I just want to say to people, like, there is no set formula for boundaries, but essentially if you walk away from an interaction and you feel that you are dimmer and more doubtful and more secretive and more fearful, that's your answer. And if it doesn't leave you, that's your answer. So have a community of people who will support you in maintaining your power and your light, your awareness, and your kindness, because it is very, very kind to teach boundaries. In fact, if we taught them perhaps a tiny bit earlier, we may not have quite so many issues in this society, but that's a whole nother session, isn't it, Antonella? So thank you so much, Antonella Spatola from Empowerment Self-Defense. This has been sarah.com with another world changer lesson and interview. And we look forward to all of your feedback. Now, Antonella, if you could just let us know your website and how people can follow you.
Yeah, website is wisdomforwomen.com.au. I'm on Facebook and on Instagram and LinkedIn, currently going through a rebrand, but reach out at any time if you need any information. Thanks, Sarah.
Cool. Thank you so much, Antonella. See you next time. Bye.